But there is something that's put on my shoulders that's called in being a shepherd of God. I want you to hear me. There's people in here that have been a part of this and had the Holy Ghost for years. But you're living in a place that is where God is not excited about where you are, because we're more afraid about what's going on in this world. We're more nervous about who's going to walk through the doors of this building. This is the house of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach tonight because I am the pastor of this church. I have not been home. I want everybody to hear me tonight. I know you're standing. I am too. But there's a place where we don't pass out pacifiers. We pass out divine anointing of the Holy Ghost. But you can't lay hands on the sick if you're not living for God in complete relationship. We can't see God move in a way when there's not unity in the body of Christ. That's not in my notes to say it, but the Holy Ghost has given me a lead to just take off. I'm running tonight. I've got something the Holy Ghost has put on me, and God confirmed it through my elder. Brother Peden called me this afternoon about 4:30, and I was on the phone for some time, and I talked to another elder, and they have given me the go-ahead that God has put me in this place for this time, for this hour. I want every man and woman to hear me in this place tonight. If you're online, I want you to hear me. You cannot go to heaven if you're not in unity of one another. You cannot go to heaven talking about each other. You cannot go to heaven condemning one another. Well, hallelujah. I've heard it. It's come through the pipe. We got to lock the doors. We got to do this. We got to do that. I'm going to tell everybody. We don't have to lock the door of that church. Let me tell you why. The Holy Ghost has given me confirmation tonight. There is a place that God puts us in a position. We are to be the church body. The church body. God is my protector. God is your protector. I want you to understand something tonight. That screen fell. And it fell in about 2.5 minutes, maybe less, when Brother Thomas was on this platform. And he was vacuuming, cleaning the platform. Sister Thomas had just walked out from underneath, picking up and doing things. And they got to the front of those steps, and that thing fell. Somebody said, well, thank God they wasn't in the way. No, thank God for the protecting angel that said, hey, you got to hold on just a minute more. And that angel stood in place and said, not right now. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to let you be seated. I already feel some of you getting worried in your spirit right now. I'm going to preach tonight, and I'm going to preach till I'm done. Hallelujah. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. We'll make up after church, and I'll lay hands on you with some oil, and we'll pray it out of you. Praise God. We're going to move forward, church. We're still in revival. I said we're still in revival. But this pastor's got to have the nucleus of the body. It's not about your agenda. It's about God's agenda. Woo. Hallelujah. My great mother-in-law, who is about as independent as all get out, she's a talented woman. She's a smart lady. She knows one way to drive, flat on the floor. Praise God. Is that bad? No. But I'm talking about protection tonight. God has protected her over and over again in a situation where it could have been catastrophe. But God said, hang on, I'm with you, honey. Don't be weary. It's something called age, and we get older. We have to put up some things, and we have to admit some things. Is that bad for Sister Nally? No. God loves her. and he protects her. God loves every individual in this building. It's about the body of Christ being ready to serve him in every capacity that we can. I don't have all the answers. I am the least of all. But I'm going to tell you something. God is the one I'm going to depend on. And he's going to give us spiritual direction. I said spiritual direction. When somebody don't do it, well, that's not even my notes tonight. You know what my title is? God is not slack concerning his promises. But I feel the Holy Ghost saying, go ahead right here. There is a place, apostolic temple, we've got to get back to. We got to move back into that era. It's not my department, it's God's department. But there's one man I put over it, that's Brother Long. And Brother Long is trying to put together unity in the body. Hallelujah. I felt a little wave come back. Listen to me, somebody, right now. Don't get offended by what you've done. You haven't done anything wrong. We just got to learn how to do it the right way and the way God gives us authority to do it. We're putting procedures together. What's it for? It's called wise and wisdom in budgeting. How do we do those things? We got to learn how to do it. Unfortunately, I don't see the president sending anything how to run a church. He's trying to demoralize the church. He's trying to tear the church down. But let me tell you something. Everybody you see in this building, they're part of the kingdom of God. There's not no little I's and no big U's or whatever. We're all part of the body. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. He's our protector. Hallelujah. God is not slack. I feel an injection of the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to ask you a question. If you got a problem with anything in the church, I want you to raise your hand. That's what I figured. Nobody would raise their hand. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost said this afternoon. I didn't get up off the carpet. But the Holy Ghost said there's four or five problems in the church, Pastor. Brother Bonnie, Johnny Peden called me and said there's some things that God's already revealed to you, and it's absolutely correct. Let me tell everybody in this building, you can't deny something. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Hello? I think I told somebody this week, I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't remember. There was something wrong with the protocol with Brother Long and Brother Clinton. Brother Gantz, I said, well, I'm wrong because I didn't check it. We got to be growing up and say, hey, I'm a Christian, and I'm striving to get to heaven. And when I make a mistake, I'm wrong. I had to apologize to Brother Sister Long. Why? Because of the program and all this thing we're trying to put together. There's a process that's got to grow forward, and there's a way of doing everything the right way. Because when we get it in place, guess what God's going to do? God's going to fill this place up so quick, your head will swim. But it's going to take every one of us working together in unity in accordance with the Word of God. Sometimes when we don't like it, we got to go pray. Felt that right there. I said, sometimes when we don't like it, we got to get on our face and pray. How much time have you prayed about what you don't have, what you've got a problem with the church? Well, hallelujah. It's getting tight in here. Any of you boys feel the Holy Ghost? Run the aisles for me. Somebody's over there saying, I wish I was that young again. I'd run the aisles. That's the problem. We're looking for an excuse why we can't run the aisles. Maybe you can't run the aisles, but you can do a little hot dog dance in the pool in between your chairs. I'm going to say it this way. When the tough gets going, the tough keep going. But when it gets tough going, that's when those that quit are going to be a quitter. They're going to be a complainer. what happened to the apostle when he got beaten. Did he turn around and sit there and start crying and moaning and groaning? No, he turned around and he wiped himself off and he said, they got to have the word. And he went right back in the city where he was beaten and bruised. He was there. What happened to Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary when he had been beaten and everything and everybody had sold him out? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's time for the apostolic church to start reaching out to everybody. Forgiving everybody. Well, hallelujah. I'm coming. Whew. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm going to go ahead and give you a prophetic word tonight. This is still the place that's called the incubator for Houston, Texas. How do you know that, Brother McClain? Because God's already said it, and he's already started doing it. I'm going to 2 Peter 3:9. I'm going to move quickly. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. I said he's not slack concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Pastor's going to stop right there. It's time for every one of us to make up in our mind, I've got to repent every day. I've got to repent every day. If I want God's promise, I've got to have a repentant heart. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust or lust. Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Did you hear that? When he was tried. He offered up Isaac, his promised child. A little wave right there. You trust God enough to offer up your child? And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Put him on the altar and bound him. Drew the dagger and raised back. And he said, okay, God, you said it. I'm going to do it. You gave him to me, and you can have him back. According that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I'm here to tell somebody right now, and I'm going to preach in just a minute, but I'm laying a foundation. If you don't build the right foundation, if you don't have it in order, when you start building any kind of structure, my friend, it's not going to last. It's not going to survive. This is a spiritual element. This is not something that's in a physical, logical sense. It don't make sense with the mind or the body or the heart of ourself or our spirit, because that's the flesh. But God says, you got to trust me. You got to believe in me. You got to understand I'll never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. If you allow me tonight to build a little platform, let us look, you may be seated, at the long suffering of the Lord toward men. The Lord's delay does not mean that he's not going to bring all men to judgment. Pastor, you don't understand. I've lived on the edge for years and all my life, and I've just felt comfortable where I'm living. I want to tell everybody, I don't care how long you've had the Holy Ghost. I don't care how long you've been calling yourself a saint of God. I laid in that floor this afternoon and I said, God, would you please forgive me? Because there's things in the supernatural, there's things in the spiritual realm that I know you want Orla McClain to be a part of and to build and to share with people how to do these things. But I have fallen and I've become happy living with what I've got and not really what I've got to reach for. There's no place that we can stop. If you quit walking, your body's going to stop moving. If you quit stretching, your body won't move like it used to. When we get older, our muscles decline, our body declines, our memory begins to fail because there's things that we stop doing. Hallelujah. I told the Lord this afternoon, I said, I will never stop pressing towards you because I know this much. If Abraham could have that walk with God, that when God gave him a promise, he would never leave that promise, but he would grow that promise up and he would offer that promise back to God. I said, Orla McClain, you've got to make up in your mind that God gave it to you. God called you to preach. You didn't call yourself to preach. There's men of God in this building. God has called you to preach, but you refuse to call out on his name. The scoffer might say he's forgotten. There's those of us that get comfortable living in the world we live in. But he told us specifically to be in the world, but not in the world. Come out and be separate. I know I've preached it over and over, but I'm preaching it again tonight. There's somebody in this building. You lived on the edge, my friend. Your job's become your priority. Your situation, your hobbies have become your priority. But God is saying, I have to have a body. I've got to have a people that understand my promises are true. Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You hear me tonight? I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what your pedigree is. Every one of us are part of the kingdom of God. And more than anything in this world's going to pass away. I said, this world's going to pass away, my friend. It's getting crazier by the day. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, shall I inject one other thing there, or a woman, soweth, that shall they also reap. God does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked. He desires that all come to repentance. Pastor, you're preaching hard tonight. You better believe it. Because this is for the people of God. I said, this is for the people of God. We've got to have something that will stir us. Something that will pull us out of our comfort. Something that will get us out of our spiritual recliner and move us into that place where I got to have a little bit more. I got to move a little bit closer. Can you say this, Bill McClain? I'm going to tell you how. It's when I get on that place and begin to repent to God and I begin to purge myself out and I say, God, there's a lot I don't understand because I don't have the ability. But whenever it's right for Orla McClain to understand and to have a spiritual relationship and revelation, I want you to give it to me. But the only way I'm going to find it, I've got to keep going deeper. I've got to keep digging more. I've got to keep trying. Jesus said it, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance of the longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If God gave you $1 million today, what would you do? Thank you, my friend. I'm not seeking for you to give it to the church. And I appreciate your attitude because I feel your spirit's connected with God. But let me tell you what happens. We take the blessings of God as a condoning of where we're living for God. We take those blessings. Oh, God, I'm happy now. I'm going on a 6-month vacation. Apostolic Temple, Pastor McLean loves you. I love you with all my heart, as Sister McLean does too, and Mama McLean does too. But this bishop that preached here and lived here and walked with God in that fullness and the integrity of the Holy Ghost, he never was satisfied where he was. And he kept moving more. And when God poured something out, he gave a little bit more. And he had to go a little bit farther. And he had to go a little bit farther. I'm preaching to everybody in this building, myself included, tonight. There's a place in the Spirit. We got to become intoxicated with the Holy Ghost. There's got to be a spiritual intuition in the spirit realm. How do you get it, Mama McLean? You got to lay on your face. We can't get it by giving an offering to God. Controls all the money. God willeth that all should come to repentance. I want you to hear me tonight. The delay of God's judgment comes in his love and mercy towards men and women. Did you hear me? I said his delay in judgment comes because he loves me and he has mercy on me. I had the opportunity this afternoon, and I'm feeling so happy right now in my spirit because I had, honey, thank you for letting me pray yesterday. Because in that bathroom, I got on the floor, and she's taking a little nap, and I buried myself in pillows, and I began to talk to God. I said, oh, God. I mean, I had another opportunity this afternoon to do the same thing, and tomorrow morning, I can't wait to have another time together. Let me tell you what's going on, church. We got to quit living in the world and allowing the world to consume us in our body and in our mind. I'm going to tell you what. We've had word after word after word after prophecy the last 10 months of our life. I'm just going to hammer it home, church. I done got approval from God and from the prophet. You know why we get discomforted and we get all disbobulated? I don't know what that means, but it sounds funny. We get all out of confusion when somebody teaches something and we say, I don't like that way. Because it cross grains with our old flesh. I'm sorry. But the Holy Ghost giving confirmation. That man of God preached on Tuesday night last week. But there was still an element of confusion. There was still an element of just an obstruction of rejection when the word goes forth. It's time for every one of us to get on our face and say, God, I got to pause. I know it's a little different tonight, church. You hear me? There's got to be a stop. There's got to be a stop. If we don't like it, there's a reason we don't. Because the flesh is trying to pull us back from what God is saying. He could have said it a different way. Go back to Galatians and find out what they told him. If you don't like it, it's not your way. It don't mean anything, but it's probably, if you're not careful, you're going to take the highway or the byway. Because when God puts a man of God in this pulpit, whether it sounds pretty, whether it sounds right or not, I'm going to tell you something, the Holy Ghost tonight, church. I pray about men coming and preaching in this church. I try my best, and if it gets out doctrinally, you're going to hear me jump up and say, shut up. Clay, you're not supposed to say that, but you got to put your foot down. And I got to remove fear tonight. I'm here to come against every obstruction that wants to divide this body, that wants to separate the prophetic word of God. Hallelujah. It don't matter how many degrees you've got. It don't matter how long you've been serving in your job. Don't matter how much money you got in the bank. God can remove it tomorrow. I said he can remove it tomorrow. And if you get mad tonight, I'm going to tell you what. God may remove his judgment because he may put his judgment on you because your peace. There's something that's going on, church. You hear me tonight? I said there's something going on, Holy Ghost. God's saying I'm trying my best to send the servant to wake you up and shake you up and let you realize God desires for every man and woman to go to heaven. Every one of us to go to heaven. The sinner has to die. I said the sinner has to die. The wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9 and 27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You may ask this, why does not the Lord judge me now? I said it a while ago, his mercy is reaching for us. He's waiting. He's wanting us. He's waiting on me to repent, to break myself down, and to remove myself out of the way. Pastor, I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues. I was baptized in Jesus' name. That's biblical. Why are you talking about your brother? Why are you getting attitudes because somebody tells you how it's going to happen? This is a house of God. This is where people come and get healed. People come and get delivered. People come and get saved. I'm nobody, but I'm telling you, I can come off this platform and walk to you right now and put my finger on your face and tell you who you've been talking about and what you've been saying and the anger and the tenacity that comes out across your face and your household has been talking and there's been disputing and there's been discord and disunity. God's saying, tell my people I want them to repent because I've got a plan for an apostolic revival. Today is the day of salvation. We don't have a promise for tomorrow morning, but I got a promise right now. I just heard this praise team sing, and the Holy Ghost was here, and there's people sitting there doing their little patty cake, and God's saying, that's not enough. If I only deserve a little patty cake, that's not going to get you to heaven. Now's the time. Now's the time. Not tomorrow. Oh, Brother McLean, you don't know. Bishop McLean preached it years ago about the coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, he did. I remember of a boy, most likely he'll never change. The deception of the hour. Wayne McLean, 1977. A little 12-year-old boy. Listen to a man of God begin to walk in the Holy Ghost. I wept and cried. And the next day I was out there lying and shooting bears across the field. But there's adults in this building tonight. You're living. You're afraid. You're afraid of the things of this world. But you're not afraid of God. God is not slack concerning his promises. God's promise is what all the Brother McLean, God made a promise about sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. He made promises about sin, my friend. Every individual in this building, you don't have a ticket for tomorrow. You hear, Brother McClain? We don't have a ticket for tomorrow. I want to wake up and make my wife coffee tomorrow. I didn't want that dumb dog named Tux. But now I kind of have fun going out and playing with him in the morning. He's a pretty smart dog. But you know what? Now I got something to look forward to in the morning. It's not being just a chair. It's not just a table. It's a little dog going roof, roof. I'm teaching him how to pray. I'm quoting the word to him in the morning, drinking coffee. He said, when I get my cup, my Bible, Dad. Oh, I'm loosening it up on some of you. Some of you need to just loosen up. When somebody says something, you hear it, it's not of God, it's not of oneness, it's not of the apostolic movement, it's not of God. He told us to be as he was. That's why we found an altar one day. That's why we lifted our hands. That's where he brought some of you out of the bondage of sin. He brought you from drugs. He brought you from alcoholism. He brought you from adultery, fornication, and sin. And it's not because God wants you to go to hell, but somebody loved you enough to pray every day. That's why we can't lock our doors. That's why we can't just put everything out and make ourselves a professional house. A man standing over holding his nose because his nose is running. I'm picking on Brother Gantz. But he wouldn't be here if it wasn't because of 1 o'clock in the morning, a hard-headed little preacher was taking a homeless boy home to go be with his family. And God says, drive around this downtown again and pray. And I prayed one time and I started to come home. I was tired, 1:15 in the morning. And I started to turn left. The Holy Ghost said, is that all you want to pray? Oh, God, I'm sorry. And I jerked that car to the right, and I went around downtown again. And I remember having that spirit come on me, and I felt an angel get in the car. And it said, I love him. I love him. Do you love him like I do? I said, God, forgive me for even thinking about not doing it. I went around some more and kept praying. And little did I know, and on Sunday night, a few weeks later, there was going to be a man sitting on the pew. And the message went forth, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost started convicting him. And the following Sunday morning, he got the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about. Well, he's professional. He's a golf pro. Yeah. But now he's a professional servant of God. It's not about me, it's about all of us, every one of us. When the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night, are you going to roll over and go back to sleep? If you're working on your job and you feel an intuition in the Holy Ghost, are you going to say, I got to do this, God, I'll catch you later? Or are you going to stop, put your phone down, put your computer down, and you're going to say, God, I don't know what's going on in the Holy Ghost right now, but I know one thing, you're not slack concerning your promises, and I've got to be a servant. I've got to do my due diligence. I've got to have relationship. I've got to be committed. God's promise to Abraham about his son Isaac. I want to tell you this, when you stay in line with God and God gives you a promise, he'll never take it away from you if you trust him. If you're obedient to him, if you're willing to go to the line, God will always intercede. Number three, God promises concerning his holiness. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. 1 Peter 1:16. Brother McClain, what does that mean? Be ye holy, for he's holy. He's the light of the world, right? He won't fellowship with darkness. So therefore, McLean's got to be holy. I got to look in the mirror. I looked around real quick. I was trying to find a big mirror for tonight. I felt the Holy Ghost was going to give me that. And let me. And then I said, okay, God, I can't find it. It's not your will. We got to look back in that mirror and look at ourselves, church, and say, God, I've got to see you. I got to see you when I look in the mirror. When I brush my teeth in the morning, do I see the peace of the Holy Ghost? Do I see that holiness that comes from you when I saw you on Calvary? I don't want to be confusing tonight, but holiness is a spirit. I said holiness is a spirit. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Hebrews 12:14. Somebody better hear me right now. There's a spirit torn in your mind right now. There's an attitude forming up in your mind because you're right and everything else is wrong. Let me tell you something, my friend. This book is right. And if we're not aligned to this book, we're wrong. You better hear by McLean, you're wrong. There's one thing about this preacher. This pastor is going to tell you what the book says. And if you don't like it, I've done my part, but I can't lead you to the water, and I can't force you into that holiness. Whew. Say it real loud, Brother Tim. With what? That fear is not the things of this world either. That trembling is not the things of this world. But that fear is the fear of God, because that's where wisdom comes from. It's from God. Knowledge comes from God. We got representation in the New Testament over and over again. God, Jesus Christ manifested in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh through his son, Jesus Christ. There was something everywhere he went. Whoa! The disciples all picked it up except one. They said, I'm going to be a partaker. I'm going to be a participator. I'm going to be a servant of God. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm moving. I got 7 points. I'm on 4 right here. God's promise concerning salvation. John's gospel. Ye shall be born again of the water and the Spirit. Brother Leslie, I was reading that this afternoon and got happy. I was getting excited. I said, well, this is Brother Leslie Madeover right here. I want to ask you a question. Do you eat a meal one day? In the morning, about lunchtime today, it's about 7 o'clock. What time is it now? 7:15, 7:20? How many of you had lunch today? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Brother Long. Got that bear. Yes, Lord. Some of you are super spiritual. Didn't raise your hand. How many of you are starting to get a little hungry now? I've only got one honest, and some are looking around. They say, I don't want nobody to know. I'm just holy. I just God just puts it back on here. Praise God. Thank you. You know why you're hungry? Because God made that body. And you got to have substance. Hello? I got to go back and read that one more time. There's something about the Spirit of God. When we get a little bit, is it enough to make us not want some more tomorrow? Well, Brother McLean, I don't understand because I don't feel it in my body. What happened when you got convicted the first time? Oh, preach, preacher. That sounds good. No, there was something about. There was a little antsy feeling to get on you, and you're like, man, it's getting hot in here. I don't know how you need to quit preaching that stuff tonight, brother. Something starts moving on you. And then before long, conviction starts setting in from the flesh side because he created us with a void in our heart. And we got to have a little bit more. And all of a sudden, I've got to have the Holy Ghost in fire. That old song, honey, I don't remember what it is really. A Holy Ghost in fire is it say keeping me alive, right? Making sure it's that Holy Ghost that's going to keep you alive. And it's not the flesh that's going to keep you alive. You got to have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit to rejuvenate you every day. It's called relationship. Said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Luke 24, talking about salvation. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Can I just pause for a moment right there? The power of the apostolic church is not resident because we get enough of the presence and the Spirit of God to make us feel comfortable. But God is not slack concerning his promises. I pray tonight I can present this not too hard and firm. Will you get angry at me? But there's people sitting before me. It doesn't matter what your title is. It don't matter how much degrees you've got. Excuse me, how many degrees you've got. It doesn't matter how many employees you've got working for you. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank account. What matters is God's promises are there. They're ready. They're ready for the church. Luke 24 and 52, and they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. Acts 1, 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here's another prophecy that Jesus spoke to those that day, and he gave the word, not many days hence you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. It had never been known. Miracles had happened. Signs had happened. Over and over through the word of God, we see where over and over Jesus showed us his example. In the Old Testament, over and over, God spoke through the prophets, through the men of God. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized. We know what happened. It's the day of Pentecost today, and pastors doing a dualism. Acts chapter 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everybody that's had the Holy Ghost to receive the Holy Ghost, clap your hands to God because you are an example of the promises of God. promises concerning the church. God bless you. You may be seated. Concerning the church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Pastor, what does that have to do with this church now? There's got to be a completion of unity. And it's got to be a willing unity. You've got to trust the pastor of this church. I don't know if I've ever felt the liberty to preach this, but I'm preaching it tonight. You've got to trust me. You've got to love me like I love you. Because the Bible says to love. Hello? Love who? What'd you say? I heard that over there. I didn't know who said it. You got to love your neighbor as you do yourself. I've been reading a book. You got to learn how to love yourself first. Well, that's just kind of got an attitude. You're just kind of getting all egotistical and pride and haughtiness and all this. No, no, no. We got to love ourselves. When we fall in love with ourselves, guess what happened? Then we understand, hey, and I'm not talking about photoshopping, picture taking, posting on Facebook. Woo! I'm not saying that'll send you to hell either. There's too much pride in the church. If we love ourselves enough, we got to understand that when we love ourselves, the same amount of love we give ourselves, we'll give to God. And when I fall in love with God, guess what's going to happen? Whew, that went over like a brick. Without spot or wrinkle, pastor can't force you to go to heaven. There's got to be a unity. I'm doing all I can to pull everybody together in oneness and trying to put departments together and get it organized where it takes less time getting things done. But we've got to work together. We got to strive together. But the ultimatum of the church is not pacifying ourselves to go to heaven. The priority of the church is praying and winning the lost. That's God's book. I hope I don't offend anybody online. Please forgive me if I do, but I'm not repenting. I just don't want you to get the attitude and go to hell over me. Let me tell you what it is. There's got to be a place. I just spoke to preachers this week, last week, week before last. Somebody said, Brother McClain, you really have two services on Sunday? Other than we have outreach, and we're supposed to have outreach, and on Sunday afternoon we're supposed to have a good time and bring people in and make them feel welcome. Like somebody said, you know, it's dips and chip yesterday at the funeral. And get them over to their house and their first home missions work. And try to, hey, if you can't get them with anything else, you can get them with dips and chip. I said, amen. Pastor's not compromising about having a fifth Sunday and having an outreach and having all these things going on and trying to build the church and make people feel comfortable. That's about trying to do something that moves us outside the box. But I will say this. It's the priority of the church. If you hadn't been in church on Sunday, you need to be in church on Sunday night. Because the body has to have each other. You are begotten by the word of God. I'm excited about the revival that God just gave us and the closing out of those great men of God and the prophetic word of Brother Phillips. But I'm going to tell you something. Now it's time for us to shift from coming and looking for your answer, but bringing somebody else that needs deliverance. We got to start teaching Bible studies and saying, God, I know you're not slack concerning your promises. I don't have the ability, but as long as I got you, you're going to give me the word. We can't be sinners. We can't be talking about one another. We can't be messing with other things. It's not godliness and holiness and self-appointed things. We got to be in oneness with God, walking in the Word, praying every day, bringing people to church, praying people through the Holy Ghost, praying prayers at work, seeing miracles happen, seeing eyes open, seeing ears unhocked. I can't see that, Pastor. That's why you've got something on your eyes in the spirit. Get out of your spiritual wheelchair and say, God of heaven, I've got to move in a place that I've never been before. Ephesians 5 and 27, I'm hurrying. That he might present himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle. I thought you just said that, Pastor. It's in Ephesians 5 and 27. But this should be holy without blemish. I told that preacher, he said, man, we got one service on Sunday. We're having apostolic move of the Holy Ghost. He said, we've had 100 people pray through the Holy Ghost this year. I said, man, that's awesome. How many are still there? Well, I don't know. I said, I want you to tell me. I want to know how many still going to your church right now. He said, well, I know two. I'm not saying that as judgment now. Don't get me wrong. I'm using an illustration. The only way people are going to go to heaven is when they get the Holy Ghost. Somebody adopts them. Somebody takes them into their home. Pastor's not preaching this for a hand clap tonight, but let me tell you something. If you can only give them the word by the word, but you don't live as an example of the word, it don't do any good. Because you're preaching something and teaching something that you don't live. You've got to be the reflection of the Holy Ghost. Pastor's got to be the reflection of the Holy Ghost. First lady's got to be the... We got to live it. We got to walk it. Our attitudes have got to be good. It's got to be marvelous. It's got to be wonderful. God's on the throne. I want to be a part of that church that's spotless. Here's the key. The apostolic church that is powered by the Spirit of God. What is that, McLean? The same Holy Ghost that you felt when you felt something. You was up there crying and weeping before the Lord. Oh, Father, I want what you got. I'm sorry for all my sins. Forgive me and cleanse me from all my filthiness. And before long, they're telling you just love on him, and they start loving on him. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And before long, there's something starts happening to that tongue, and it begins to take over your body, and you didn't know what was going on. They say, don't worry about it. Just let that tongue go, and the Holy Ghost starts speaking through us. As the Spirit gives utterance. Apostolic temple. We're spoilt rotten. God is not slack concerning his promises. There's a promise of his coming, number six. I'm only going to seven. I'm stopping. I think there's about 76 of them. I don't guess I preached in about 10 or 11 months. I could probably just keep on going. There's a promise concerning his coming. If the trumpet sounded right now, are you ready? Have you said something about your brother or sister? Have you had an eternal prayer meeting this day, today, on a Sunday, Pentecost Sunday? Have you plugged into that place in the spirit realm to where you know that you know if the trumpet sounded? That you would arise from this body. That promise of his coming, his first coming, his earthly ministry of power and wonders. Number three, many could not accept him nor his work when Jesus Christ was here. They looked at the miracle, and the one that gave the miracle and they question. The one that told them all about their life, and they question because they knew so much. One that began the Pharisees and the Sadducees over and over in the Word of God, they questioned who Jesus was. And it got to the point where they took him to Calvary, but it was a part of a fulfillment. The Holy Ghost has spoken to Brother McLean and said, there's those that are questioning everything that my servant does. They're questioning what your brother and sister does. They're questioning the life of others. And God's saying, I did not give you the authority to question anybody. But the only person that you ever question is when you look in the mirror, you question yourself and you say, God, am I right? God, am I living as you taught me and show me in the Word? We got to stop worrying about everybody, but start praying for everybody. Second coming, Acts 1:11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heavens? The same Jesus which is taken up from into you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus Christ is going to come back and present himself a church that has made itself ready. Are we part of the church? Is Apostolic Pimple going to be a part of the church? Are we going to fulfill for God what God has promised to this city, what he promised Bishop McLean, what he promised Brother Timothy Creel, what he promised Brother Verbal Bean? You're part of it, whether you like it or not. I don't want anybody to leave. I want you to find a place to repent. Be a little firm right here. If you don't like Brother McLean, I promise you, you're not going to like the next one. Unless you go to a charismatic place where they don't preach holiness and they don't know how to pray. They just say, once saved, always saved. And then number seven, the judgment of the death. My friends, we have a day with judgment of death coming. I'm going to clarify something in the Holy Ghost right now. What God gave me in the very beginning of this service, it comes back to this point, and I'm going to be closing in a minute. When it's your time to go, you're going to go. It don't matter. Hello? I got the word to prove what I just said. When it's time for your children to go, they're going to go. But the best thing we can do is put our children and our lives on the altar and get the protection of the Holy Ghost in our lives and say, God, I've got to quit worrying about the things of this world and start worrying about the things that's going to come in the hereafter. When the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be ready and I'm going to take others with me. Quit listening to politics. Start praying. Preacher told me, one preacher said, man, I have one service. He said, we've been doing that for 4 years now since before COVID. He said, it's wonderful. He said, I don't have to worry about things as much. He said, all I get to do is just counsel during the week and just go play golf. I said, man, how many people are going to heaven? I don't know. I'm just doing what God said. No, you're not doing what God said. We got to work it out, church. We got to move. There's got to become a tenacity in the church. There's got to be something that says, oh, I want my people which would call, that call upon me and would humble themselves and say, oh, God, I got to have you. The Word of God said it. I looked it up today. God uses a man of God to talk to you. But if you refuse to hear the Word tonight, your time is getting closer. I'm going to be very blunt, church. There's people in this building think they know it all. You don't know nothing. You know what this world calls, I know something, but you don't know anything in the spirit realm. But this man of God's been on my face, and I'm telling somebody, you better stop worrying about things that's in the physical and start praying about the things that's in the spirit. I'm going to tell a couple of stories and I'm closing. Brother McLean, you don't know everything either. I sure don't. I'm the least of all. But I know one thing, and I know it, and I've had an experience this afternoon again, that I know God and He's in control. And when He says something, I better move. Because I'm not going to take rejection. I want you and I love you, but I'm not going to move beyond that place where your emotions and your feelings and your words is going to stop me from following God. Bishop Wayne McLean was counseling somebody before service on a Sunday night. It was a situation in Apostolic Temple years ago. He pleaded with that couple to make amends and make it right and to get it straight. I talked to Dad in 2014, and I asked him, I said, Daddy, what all was going on? I don't remember exactly because I was going through a major seizure time then. But I remember him telling me, I reached out with everything I had, son, trying to get that man to repent and to forgive and not take things in his own hand. That man sat in Daddy's little office on the corner of the church and he wept and cried. But he refused to get to that place where he could give it all up. When he walked out the door, he pulled that pistol from his pocket and he started shooting his wife. And Bishop told me, he said, I drug her through the door, bullets flying between my legs. He said, I laid her down and began to pray. And that man went into prison and had an opportunity. He took God's mercy in his own hands. He took God's judgment in his own hands. I recently was talking to some preacher and he made this statement. He said, Brother Orland, I preached with everything I had. I pulled and I pulled and I pulled. That man came to that altar and he prayed, but he prayed a little soft prayer to where the feelings and the emotions and conviction would justify within himself. He walked out of that building and he left that building and he went home and the argument went on in a situation. He pulled a gun out. He blew his wife's brains out. And he turned and put that gun in his own temple and he blew his head off. He said, why are you talking like this tonight, Brother McLean? Because there's people that are not taking that exhaustive measure and you're sitting on a chair in this building tonight. And God's mercy has given you opportunity after opportunity. You've had prophetic word that's went across this pulpit for the last 10 months by Brother Phillips, and God has fulfilled prophetic things that He's told people. But God has also reached out to people and trying to get us together in unity, and the spirit world is trying with everything it can to stop us from growing and moving forward. Brother McLean is preaching to this people tonight, God. His mercy and His promises are not slack, but there comes a time when we step out from behind that mercy. There's a time when we start taking it into our own hands, saying, God, I know you're going to come, but that's another day. Brother McLean, I know, and I call you pastor, but I've never really accepted you as my pastor. Brother McLean, you're my pastor. No, I'm not your pastor until you start living and trying with all your heart to do what I do and try to live for God like I do. You can't say it with your mouth, but your spirit's screaming out to me tonight. I'm going to do it the way I want to, Brother McLean. I know you're my pastor, and I know you have an authority. No, I don't have that authority because you've got to render that authority back to this pulpit. When an evangelist is preaching, you've got to preach, and you've got to preach with them. When it gets hard, you've got to toughen up and get hard. Are you ready for the coming of God? Or am I going to preach your funeral one day? And when it comes time to make those remarks, it was a good man or a good woman. Read a poem and just feel such turmoil within my spirit. Honey, if you will, go the music. You don't know what it's like just being a preacher. Oh, you drive nice cars, preacher. You live in a nice home. You got money running out your ears, and it's just coffee, and it's having a good time. But you lay in bed after a conviction service like tonight, and you deal with it in your spirit, and you toss and turn because I feel there's somebody straggling right now. You're strangling between that place of that mercy and that grace and the anointing and the Spirit of God, but your flesh is saying, I'm okay. But this pastor's telling you, are you really where you want to be? Have you done everything for God that he wants you to do? Have you heard the call of God? Have you had a Holy Ghost prayer meeting in your own room at home? Tonight is your night for repentance. Tonight is your night for a change in life. Saint of God, are you completely ready for what God has for you to do? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. As some men count slackness, there's somebody here counting slackness. But it's a long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm reaching for every individual in this building tonight. I'm not selecting one. I said every human being in this building. I know it started hard, but this preacher is just trying my best to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to hand you a little soft shaker tonight, but I'm trying to reach into your spirit and just shake you with the Holy Ghost. There's something that's got to come upon every one of us if you need to repent to your brothers and sisters. Brother McLean, it's their fault. No, it's not. It's ours. It's all of our fault. There can't be a feeling and an emotion built inside of us and be living for Christ and be living like him. There's got to be a tenderness in our spirit. These altars are open tonight. If you don't want to go, don't go. I'm not looking for a response. I'm wanting to know, can I be your pastor? Can you trust me? Would you be willing to find that place tonight and say, Lord, if there's something that I haven't really dug out and found in my spirit from my past, can I pull it out tonight? Can I get to that place of brokenness? I don't know if I've ever been there, God, but I got to be there. I want to go to heaven. I'm challenging every human being in this building. If you don't want to come to the front, please bow in your chair tonight and find a place to pray. If the ushers would dim the lights, I want it to be a setting tonight where it's that scenario of perfect setting where we can break ourselves down before God and say, God, I've got to have all that you've got for me. Pastor, don't have an agenda, church. I'm seeking for every one of us to be in oneness tonight. Come on, I'm challenging you, pray. Come on, lift your voice up.